Good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on this beautiful Wednesday evening or Thursday morning if you're on the other side of the world. And welcome one and all. And greetings to those on the phone and to those listening to the recording. And it's good to be back with you all once again. Our opening song for tonight's service is the beautiful hymn, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And our dear brother James and sister Lucy will sing that for us now.
Thank you, dear brother Helda. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It bids my trembling heart rejoice. It dries each drying tear. It tells me in a still small voice to trust and never fear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. This name shall shed its fragrance still along this thorny road. Shall sweetly smooth the rugged hill that leads me up to God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And there with all the blood-bought throng, from sin and sorrow free, I'll sing the new eternal song of Jesus' love for me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Sorry about my voice, folks. It doesn't work a lot of the time, but I know the Lord doesn't mind. Thank you.
And I believe I got the tune right, bro.
Yes, it was beautiful, and thank you, dear ones. And Sister Lucy, your voice is fine. It's beautiful. And the heavenly angels sing along with us when we're praising God. And their perfect voices blends with ours. And so what comes before God is beautiful. So praise the Lord. Well, let us please kneel and bow our heads reverently for opening prayer to our God. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite love and compassion for each one of us. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be blessed and to have life, and with what health we have throughout this past week, bringing us safely to another precious gathering to be with our fellow brothers and sisters in the faith and to worship thee and praise thy holy name. We devote tonight's service to your name and glory, and we pray that you'll be here in our midst. Bring the atmosphere of peace and love and joy and light and happiness from above that surrounds your throne and yourself. And please let us indeed bask in this glory tonight. We pray that the presence of our Savior will be here to dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of his righteousness and truth, and to take control of our hearts, that we might indeed have his mind and not our own mind. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will be here as a precious honored guest to open our understanding to behold greater things from the word of truth, and also to correct us and to instruct us in the way of righteousness and truth. And thank you, Spirit, for doing so. And please continue to prick our hearts and to open our eyes to see the sins that are registered against our name in our record books of heaven, that we might be earnest in recognizing these and confessing these and putting these away, so that Christ's precious atoning and forgiving blood can be applied to our account and we may be hid in his precious robe of righteousness. We also pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to fill this dark world with the glory of your Son and pour your Spirit out in greater and greater early and latter rain upon hearts, that indeed this earth may be ablaze with the precious knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. And thank you for allowing this to take place, and that we're closer to the end this week than we were last week. Dear Father, I also pray that you will hear and answer all the prayers and petitions that have been offered in this room, offered by thy people around the world. And thank you for hearing and answering each one according to thy perfect and compassionate will. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst. Thank you so much that we have the ability to meet together one with another in worshiping our Father and our elder brother Jesus. And thank you so very much for not leaving us in darkness, but for bringing us out into thy marvelous light. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service. We're in the study book of Philippians. We've gone through Galatians, we've gone through Ephesians, and now we're in Philippians. And we left off last time at verse 9 of chapter 1. And Paul was greeting the Philippian brothers and sisters, and he was telling them and expressing to them how he longed for them and were keeping them in his thoughts and prayers, and that he had their best interests and welfare in mind, and that how greatly he longed to be with them, even though he was away at this time, because they were written in his heart. So now we pick it up at verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. So Paul mentioned that it would manifest the love of the Philippians to show others that they are increasing more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, especially in things that were approved of God to be excellent, and that they were continuing to become more and more like Christ and less without offense. So this was an evidence that their love was growing. Not like the world terms love or views love, but how God views love. So if we truly have the love of God within us, then we're going to increase more and more in knowledge of the truth and in viewing things correctly. In other words, having good judgment. And we're going to be approving things that are excellent, not approving things that are wicked, not approving things that are false, but approving things that are excellent. So then if we're not increasing more in knowledge and having pure judgment and approving things that are excellent, then are we really increasing in the love of God? Or are we increasing in a different kind of love? And the answer is no, we're not increasing in the love of God. We're instead increasing in the love of this world, in a self-centered love. So then if our love is worldly, if it's selfish, then we're not going to be increasing more and more in knowledge and judgment of heavenly things, but instead we're going to be increasing more and more in the knowledge and judgment of the world, in earthly things. And we're not going to be approving things that are excellent, but instead we're going to be approving things that are against God. So if we find that we are giving our consent to things of gossip or things of a false nature, then that shows us that we're not in the love of God like we think we are, because we're not approving things that are excellent, because our knowledge is not increasing in the truth, and thus our judgment is not proper, but improper. So then we're not without offense, but we would be with offense. And all of this centers on love. What kind of love do we have? It's manifested in our actions, our words, how we treat others, it's all very plain to see. But we ourselves may be blind to it. So if our love for God is increasing more and more, if godly love is increasing more and more within us, then our knowledge is going to be of things that are true, things that are good and honest, of good report. And our judgment, how we view things, is going to be more and more correct. We're going to be approving things that are excellent and disapproving of things that are contrary to the principles of the gospel. And we're going to become more and more sincere and without offense towards God and our fellow men and women. So then, if godly love is truly a part of us, these are the fruits that we're going to manifest. But if instead worldly or selfish love is a part of us, then we're going to be doing just the opposite. We're going to be manifesting the antithesis of these fruits. And it will be plain for everyone to see, even though we ourselves may be blind to it. So if we're truly abounding in godly love, then we're going to be more and more increasing in the knowledge of truth. We're going to be viewing things aright. In other words, our judgment is going to be more and more attuned to God's judgment. We're going to be approving things that are excellent towards the gospel, and disapproving of things that are not excellent towards the gospel. And we're going to be growing more and more without offense all the way until the coming of Christ, instead of increasing in offense against God. So if we have godly love in us, then verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So if we are indeed growing more in godly love, then we will be filled with fruits of righteousness, with actions, with works, with words that will lead to righteousness, that will uplift the Lord of righteousness, and will bring glory and praise to God. But if we're filled with a selfish or worldly love, then we will not be filled with fruits of righteousness, but we will be filled with fruits of unrighteousness, which will not bring glory to God and will not be for the praise of God. So what kind of love are you manifesting? What kind of love is in your heart? A selfish love or a godly love? And we may manifest both. One time it may be a selfish love, the next time it may be a godly love. But the point is, are you abounding, are you growing in godly love more than in selfish love? If you are, then you're increasing in righteousness, not decreasing. And that's what God asks us to do, is to increase, to grow, to advance in the things that are approved of Him. So as long as you're increasing in godly love, continue forward. But if you've stopped growing in godly love, then that's something that you need to awaken to if you're decreasing in godly love, then that's paramount to your salvation to recognize it, to repent of it, and to turn around and regain your first love, because you've lost him. So what kind of love do you have in your heart? What kind of love are you manifesting? And dear ones, that's something we need to examine in ourselves to determine. And that's also something we need to listen to what others may say about us or come to us with. Because a lot of times we're blind to our own actions. So are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we continue?
Elder Robert, I want to say how helpful I find that. I mean, we are sometimes blind to our own actions, but I think also it's not that we are blind to what we're saying and doing, but we don't know how other people might receive it, and we may never know. And sometimes when we do find out how someone has received something we have said or prayed, we get quite a shock because they've interpreted differently, as we may well interpret other people differently. But I'm just emphasizing what we all know. I think that we need to be very careful about how we choose our words and try to make sure that they can't be mistaken. We can't always know that, but we can always ask for God's help in that, as I'm sure we do. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I agree, dear sister. And that's where we need to come to a point of patiently accepting criticism, patiently accepting and investigating into what people tell us about what they see in ourselves. And instead of just ignoring what they say or throwing out what they say because we may not like what they say, we need to instead put aside feelings and investigate to see if it's true, and pleading for God's Spirit to open our understanding and allow us to see ourselves as we really are. So if individuals say something about us and we check it out, we investigate, and we see that it doesn't have any validity, then there's nothing wrong in telling them that they're wrong and then give them evidence to show that they're wrong. There's nothing incorrect in doing that. But a lot of times, individuals just flatly refuse to investigate. They just, you know, completely ignore what another person is sharing with them because they just don't like to receive criticism, or their feelings are so much on the outside that they become offended if someone doesn't speak well of them or doesn't greet them in a particular way, or I mean, they're just bristling with self. And if you brush them the wrong way, it wasn't your intention to do so, but they look upon it as if it was your intention. And that's where the problem comes in. There's 12 major different kinds of character. 12 different major characteristics that people in the world fall under. And some are a mixture of the 12. So, I mean, you can't really nail down the borders between the 12 different major characteristics. But anyways, so one person with a particular characteristic are going to view things with a particular way of viewing. And every other 11 of the characteristics may view it 11 different ways. So the only way that you're really going to know if someone has offended you intentionally is to question them. What did you mean when you said this? Or what motivated you to act this way in this particular situation? Could you please explain it to me? And so if you give them the ability to explain, a lot of times that just completely eliminates any kind of misjudging. But if you don't give them that ability to explain, if you just jump to the conclusion that they did this or said this because of this, because they have a grudge against me, or because, you know, they have something that is negative towards me, and they really don't have anything that's negative, then you are guilty of misjudging them. You're guilty of believing that they've done something with this particular intention when that's not true at all. That's only made up in your mind. It's only guessed at or surmised or supposed or assumed. That's where the great danger comes in. So those that are growing in godly love will be abounding more and more in the knowledge of the truth and in all good judgment, meaning they will not misjudge. They will not accuse others of being guilty of things that they're not guilty of. But if they're growing more and more in a worldly or in a selfish love, then their whole judgment is going to be not abounding in the knowledge of truth, but instead abounding more and more in the knowledge of evil. And they're going to view everything with a negative evil slant because their eyesight has been colored by the ways of the world or the selfishness of an evil heart. So we need instead to be filled with the fruits of righteousness so that the things we say and the actions that we perform are unto the glory and praise of God and not unto the glory and praise of ourself. But the only way we can do it is to have the love of God in us. It's the only way. Amen, sister. That is the only way. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please go right ahead. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And this has to be done prayerfully. Amen. Amen. We have to dwell on the things that will be of good report. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, then we're to think on those positive things, especially about others. But if we instead focus on the negative, and we're not dwelling upon the truth, we're dwelling upon the actions of others, and we're not thinking of good reports, but instead we're thinking of evil reports, evil surmising and assuming and trying to imagine why things were said or things were done, and then believing that our mind is capable of correctly weaving through all the differences in the characteristics of individuals and recognizing the motives of individuals, then we're going to make a mess of everything. We can't read hearts, so then we can't read motives. And if we can't read hearts and we can't read motives, then it's a waste of time to believe that our mind is capable of understanding why a person said this or why a person did this and getting it correct. It's impossible. So then if it's impossible for us to rightly judge the motives or the reason why people said something or did something, then the best course is to not try and imagine or to think or to ponder why someone said or did something, but instead to believe that they had the best of motives and intentions behind what they said and did. And that's dwelling on things that are good, things that are just, things that are of good report, not on the negative, but on the positive. And if we still have a question, then we go to them and ask them, why? What's the reason? And if they tell us it's this reason or this was why, then we accept it. Unless there is evidence to show otherwise. And the evidence needs to be based in fact. It needs to be based on the truth, not evidence that we've conjectured in our own minds. Because we're not wise. In fact, all our supposed wisdom is foolishness to God. The only one wise is God. Where we find the wisdom of God is in His words of inspiration. So as long as we dwell on the wisdom of God found in His word, we're safe. We would be abounding more and more in the knowledge of God and in the correct judgment if we have God's love growing within us. If we don't allow God's love to dwell in our hearts and to change us, then it doesn't matter if we know and have memorized the entire Bible from the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation. It doesn't matter. Because we lack godly love. 1 Corinthians 13 is a chapter that it would be well for each one of us to read once a day. That way, Christ-like love would be put into our mind on a daily basis, and the Spirit would take that knowledge and let it sink into our hearts. Though I have all wisdom, and though I can understand all knowledge and the secret things of God, if I don't have godly agape love, it profiteth me nothing. So So what kind of love is in your hearts, dear ones? Amen. 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 The comment in the room says, until we truly die to self in the Lord, the devil will continue to find a way to cause strife. Amen indeed.
I want to thank you so much for this beautiful worship time that we have together. Father Jesus, I pray that we all come together into the knowledge of the truth and help us to love one another as you love the church and die for it. Father, help us, Father Jesus. We need you every step of the way. Help us to grow in grace. Help us to forgive one another. Help us to love one another, Father Jesus. Thank you so much for everything that is well as they are. Please bless all the people in here, every one of us here, Father Jesus. I pray that you will bless everyone from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And forgive us, Father, if we cause anything that it was not pleasing to your eyes, Father Jesus. Help us, Jesus. We need you every single day. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
I pray that you can all hear me by the grace of God. I'm using my phone, so it's chipping in and out. Thank God for this blessed lesson. If we could all continue to kneel as far as possible and bow our heads in our heart and come reverently before our Godhead. O righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before you, asking, Lord, for your mercy and forgiveness upon our lives.
Dear Father, because we have all sinned and have fallen short of your glory, dear Father, I pray. Please forgive us in thought and deed and in act, dear Father, I pray. Help us to meditate on the lessons that we are so learning and the words of encouragement and admonition that we are receiving from each other, dear Father God, I pray. But help us not to just leave it here, but to think upon the things that we have learned, dear Father God, and to actually put them into practical use, dear Father God. Reaching out to a brother, an assistant, a sister, a loved one, a friend, a foe, dear Father, that we have hurt or caused any problems with, whether it was intentional or not, dear Father, and making it right according to your perfect will. Help us to rely on a thus saith the Lord, where he says, forgive one another as the Lord forgive us, dear Father God, I pray. We also know that we cannot love you in heaven, dear Father God, and not love our brother that we are, and sisters and family that we are able to see here, dear Father God. So please help us all to search our hearts, our minds, dear Father, and do what is right according to your perfect will, suppressing pride, suppressing everything that is not of you, and truly putting self on the back burner, dear Father God, and exalting you in every way. Let that be our walk, dear Father God, and our talk, dear Father God. Help us to put Satan where he needs to be, and that's underneath our feet, dear Father God, according to your perfect will. Forgive me, dear Father God, for my sins and my iniquities, anything that I have done in this body, known and unknown, dear Father God. Forgive me for giving a listening ear in a time when I shouldn't, for speaking a word in a time that I shouldn't, for doing things in the time that I shouldn't, dear Father God, I pray. And help me to always look upon this archive and remember this prayer, dear Father God, as I am truly asking for your forgiveness, as we all should, dear Father, I pray. Please bless each and every one of us that are here tonight, dear Father. Please bless each and every one that is not here with us. For those that started to come and is no longer here with us tonight, dear Father God, whether they're listening on the phones or they'll be listening at a later time, wherever they are, please, Lord, bless them and touch them You're the only one that can change hearts and work upon them, dear Father God. So I hope that the words, the little seeds that were planted, will arise and spring up in their hearts, dear Father God, I pray. Please, Lord, touch each and every one of us from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet and make us whole according to your perfect will, dear Father God, I pray. May the Lord bless each and every one of us according to your will. In no other name than Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives, whether it be good and or bad, dear Father God. Thank you for the many lessons that were taught and for all the blessings that were received from them. And thank you for being an all-wise God and for choosing for us, dear Father God, I pray. And giving us also a choice and forgiving us that when we don't make the right choice, that we can come back to you and give it all to you according to your perfect will. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives according to your
precious Father in heaven. Thank you once again for another opportunity to get to know ourselves better by having truth spoken out from your inspired word, your infallible word, that we can gratefully come to, and if we ever have any difficulties understanding the infallible word, we can know that the difficulty lies with us and not your word. I pray that the solemnity of the day that we're living in, the antitypical Day of Atonement, will seize upon us to, just as we act when we're in prayer and in meeting, in religious services, so we'll be outside, solemn, considerate, and a willingness to search out in our own mind any wrongs that we've committed against others, and whoever they are, however humiliating it might be, what may need to be confessed and admitted, even if they have done things to us, please help us not have a self-justifying spirit. And especially if it's people that we don't tend to see often, and we've still some way hurt them. If it's only sorry that we say to them, please help us do this, pursue this, to know that our willingness to be forgiven from our fellow man, woman, was real. And so our faith in you to forgive us of our sins, complete. Please increase us with knowledge that's according to godliness, so we can look like Christians according to the definition of heaven and not the definition of earth, not the definition of the spirit that's in the children of disobedience. Help us pity those, especially those that are obviously in serious error, doctrinally, practices, whatever it may be. Help us that as much as they may have wronged others, ourselves, we'll show more pity and act like you more, not putting a limit on how godly we can be. Just like you've constantly beated back harder and harder upon us with waves of mercy when we failed and when we didn't know we were in the dark. As your children, your remnant increase in number, more difficulties arise, which is natural. But I thank you that the Holy Spirit, it's natural for him to combine us all as if we were just one person. Jesus as the head and we as the members of the body, actively playing a part of love in this world that's called everything that hates righteousness, even the Prince of Righteousness, speak of the natural heart. help us never think that it's impossible to seek perfection now, to claim the promise that today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not in the past, at some effort of our own. And that trying to do things in our own strength without faith, and trying to have faith without doing anything to show a genuineness of the faith is terribly destructive. Help us get the right balance further. We've come this far. You've brought us this far. And as a Christian that you've made us, we can experience extraordinary good things according to what heaven calls good. Please fill us more with your goodness so we long after that which is good from above that we don't yet have. And thank you for doing this. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Precious Father, and we thank you for thy love. Thank you for sending Jesus down to manifest your love for each one of us. Please help us to put away everything that is not of thee, that is not part of your character, that is not connected with your love. And please fill us with your love, with your godly type of love. For that is what is going to show the world the difference between professed Christianity and genuine Christianity, is your love. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for exalting self. Forgive us, Father, for manifesting the wrong kind of love, the destructive kind. And please cleanse us from this, for we do not want to be destroyed, and we do not want to be the cause of others being misled to their destruction. So please send your Spirit to be with each one of us. Create in us a new heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Plant your love in our hearts. And please help us to recognize the difference between your love and selfish love, so that we may have the precious ability to choose which to manifest. And give us the strength and the grace and the courage to say no to the worldly kind of love, but yes and always yes to your kind of love. That we might indeed be abounding more and more in heavenly knowledge and in proper godly judgment, approving things that are excellent, and that we can grow more and more without offense till our Savior comes. Help us indeed to be filled more and more with the fruits of righteousness and to the praise of God, and less filled with the fruits of unrighteousness to the praise of ourselves. Thank you so much that through your divine grace and strength and our willingness that this great change can be accomplished in our lives, and that we indeed can be saved and be the means of leading others to salvation as well. Please, Father, unite us together as brothers and sisters, and help us to press together and ignore all of the barriers that Satan tries to throw against us, but indeed allow us to achieve here in this small home church as well as in all the other gatherings of your people, to achieve the oneness, the close bond that is indicative of your union and bond with the Father. Help us to achieve it among ourselves and indeed be able to show the world that there is a God in heaven who has sent his Son to save mankind from their sins. That it is true. It's not just a fairy tale, because they can see it lived in one of their fellow human beings. Help us to be one of those fellow human beings that can reveal our Savior to the world. And thank you for allowing this great privilege and honor to be co-workers with Thee, yoked together with our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, and indeed advance more and more without offense until our Savior comes. Thank you, dear Godhead, for being here. Please continue to be with us throughout the remaining of this week and bring us back together again to draw more closer to Christ and to one another, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
I'm sorry if you could hear other voices, but I'm not home, so forgive me for that. But I want to sing a beautiful song in Spanish, and I'm going to translate it a little bit, that what it means. Christ's fidelity is humongous. Christ's fidelity is incomparable. No one like you, Jesus. So that's what I'm going to be singing in Spanish. It goes like this. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios, es grande tu fidelidad. Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable. Nadie como tú, bendito Dios, es grande tu fidelidad. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Well, thank you, dear sister, and God bless you, too. That was a beautiful song. And I think I heard Sister May say amen in the background there, so... good evening to our dear Sister May. And there was a request for the hymn on Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And I got it up here in the room. I'll go ahead and sing the first stanza, and whoever would like to take the next, please put your bubble up. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Faultless to stand before the throne. What a distinct privilege and honor that is. But only if we're covered and hid in the precious righteousness of our Savior. There's been a request for the hymn, Sweet By and By. Beautiful song also. And again, anyone that would like to sing it, please put your bubble up. All started out. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that
sweet and the beautiful shore. The millennial song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore.
To our bountiful Father above, We will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. I love it when we have many of our church family singing the different parts of the hymns and the verses. It's more beautiful to me that way. So praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, praise God for allowing each one of us to gather together again for another meeting in which we're praising the Lord and digging into His words and growing in grace and coming that much more into unity with one another. I pray, dear ones, that we will indeed dwell more on the things that are true and honest and just and of good report, and less upon the negative things that will lead us downward instead of upward to the Prince of Life. So I pray, dear ones, that you'll continue to look up, for that is where you find your grace, your strength, your example, as well as the true form of love to exhibit. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. So may God bless you, dear ones, with the Spirit and truth, and especially with His love.